This is Current Sports from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
On Sunday.
From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives to the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching it, like a J.V. Russell. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. He's going. Touchdown. Michigan State wins it in overtime.
What's up, good people? Welcome to the final day of the premier week of Current Sports with me, Al Martin. It's May 16th. Happy Friday, everyone. The weekend is almost here. Keep chugging through. I hope you all are having a cool, calm, and collected day. And I'm glad you are tuned in right now. On today's show, we'll talk about Justin Verlander's unusual performance on the mound last night. A Spartan hockey player gets some shine on the game's biggest stage. Pat O'Keefe and the Grand Ledge Comets team, another title, people. And yes, Titus Young is in the news once again. All of that and so much more coming your way. Today also marks the first day of our State of Boxing series. That's right. Today we'll talk with a man who is using boxing as a tool to inspire the youth around Lansing, and I'll also talk to him about his thoughts on where boxing is headed today. You do not want to miss this one, folks. That's all coming up on Current Sports. Keep it locked right here. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's episode 5. Can you believe that? The final episode of our premier week of Current Sports. It has been an exciting week, and thank you all out there who have tuned in and gave us a ring. And this is a perfect time to remind you all out there that you can join the hands-on discussion here at Current Sports, not by just listening on your radio, but by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, like us on Facebook.com/Current Sports, or even email me. That's right, shoot me an email at AlMartin@WKAR.org. Now, during our caller portion of the show, we will take your questions, not just through the calls, but also Facebook me, tweet me. I mean, we know some of you guys out there are shy and don't like calling. Shoot me a tweet or message. All right, as I just stated, starting today, we kick off a series when it comes to the state of boxing in today's world of sports. It doesn't take a rocket science to look at the sport of boxing and to notice that its steady decline of popularity through the years. Gone are the historic battles of guys like Sugar Ray Leonard and Thomas Hearns, or the hype surrounded by all of Muhammad Ali fights, especially when he fought Joe Frazier.
Down goes Frazier!
I mean, how can you forget that call? Unbelievable. Or even the dawning of one of the most prized boxers of all time.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Yes, those days are gone. Now we have the exciting Floyd Mayweather. Okay, let's be honest. Name the last exciting Mayweather fight you've seen. I'll wait. Yep, still waiting. All right, I'll rest my case. Yeah, so all of next week, the Current Sports team and I have decided to get to the bottom of this thing. Why has the popularity of boxing diminished? We will talk to boxing trainers, referees, judges, and yes, the athletes themselves, and even discuss the possibility of mixed martial arts taking over as the new fighting king. So we start things off today with today's guest, Ali Easley. He was born in Morocco, and his father was in the Air Force while his mother was a traveling nurse. He moved to Pennsylvania when he was 11 years old and started boxing at the age of 12. Ali came to Michigan to box in 1991. It was at an event where he met members of the Crown Boxing Gym. He ended up moving to Michigan in 1992, where he accepted a job at Lansing Community College and joined the Crown Boxing Team. He would eventually end up at MSU, where he is a professor in kinesiology, teaching boxing here. He's also the head of the Lansing nonprofit Help a Willing Kid Foundation, which provides the area's underprivileged kids ages 8 to 18 a safer place to better themselves and their lives. Coach, it's truly a pleasure to have you on Current Sports. Welcome, man.
I appreciate that, Al. Good to be here.
Nice, man. All right. So, Coach, after all I've said right there, I mean, where did your love of boxing first start?
Well, my love of boxing started as a young kid. I was actually involved in some martial arts training, and I loved the fact that I got to put on the outfit, put the belt around me, and go to these little training sessions, and there'd be a group of kids, and we'd all be doing the same thing, getting hyped up on something. But I actually had a cousin who was pretty serious into boxing, and he saw me out in the front yard one day in my white outfit doing some crazy moves, and he said, you know, son, you should come with me sometime to the gym. You know, we'll let you spar and let you take it easy on some of the boxers. You know, we don't want you to hurt them, whatever. Right. So I took him up on that, and I never forget the day I walked into that gym. I was on the second floor of an old building down in Pittsburgh and walked up the steps, and as I was walking up the steps, I kept hearing the sound of a speed bag, that rhythm beating, and it got louder and got louder, mm-hmm. and I think my confidence got smaller and got smaller. And I walked in there, and I saw those athletes, what I would consider at the time real athletes, because the guys were all walking around with shorts and no shirt on and about 2% body fat, and wow. I was coming from a YMCA or something with a bunch of young kids, you know, going through karate movements.
Right.
And that was the day I knew that was it.
Something you never forget, right?
Never forget it.
Never. Now, when you look at the sport of boxing, Ali, first of all, let's talk about the name. Ali, that's a fitting name for boxing, right? Ali Easley, that's a cool name, man.
I appreciate that. I don't think it was intended that way, but
I was just about to ask you, was that intended? We're like, this guy's going to be a boxer. Mom and Pop was like, hey, we're going to name him Ali.
Yeah, I think it was just named after the Arabic kings.
You know? Gotcha. It's not for you, Ali. I mean, what do you think makes the sport of boxing so special and different in your eyes?
Well, I mean, the sport of boxing, you know, to me, is a real avenue for people to come in and learn a lot about themselves. It's a very regulated sport. There's a lot of upside to the governing body that oversees USA Boxing for the kids. And, of course, it's an ultimate outlet for professional as well as Olympic dreams. And people can really write their own ticket if they find a way through it. But it's a sport that, you know, I often tell kids that come into the gym that have told me that they've played basketball or they played football or they played hockey, and I say, you know, that's great. I mean, you can play all those sports, but one thing you can't play is boxing. I mean, it's you and the other person in the ring, and I think that just makes it such a unique situation, and you learn a lot about yourself and the sport and what you're capable of overcoming.
Now, looking through the years, Ali, there's gone are the days. I mean, I used to talk to my grandfather about this all the time. I mean, back in the day, I mean, people were running their televisions to watch an Ali fight or watch Joe Louis box. I mean, or run to the radio, I should say. I don't know if TV was even invented back then. Well, of course, during Ali's days. But gone are those days, you know, when it was so popular and so ingrained in society. Why do you think over the years boxing's popularity has declined?
Well, I really feel probably the single most event that changed boxing was when it started to diversify its weight classes, and it started to accept different governing bodies that were issuing, you know, titles under different names. And if you recall, you know, you hear like the unification of the example heavyweight champion of the world, you know, where you're winning like three different governing bodies title.
Right.
So that was one thing that I think kind of created such a vast you know, sport where there were so many different bodies of boxing. People may have been competing in one weight class for this title and a different weight class for this title. And that sort of brought the popularity down a bit, I believe. And then also, of course, the visibility of the sport. I mean, with the, you know, back in the day, you could turn on ABC at noon on a Saturday and watch a good fight. But, you know, nowadays you got to have HBO, Showtime, some cable you pay for, or in the case of the big fights, pay-per-view.
Now, looking at that, what you just said, Ali. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Ali Easley, really a guy, a really inspirational guy. He's the head of the Crown Boxing Gym here in Lansing and also the lead guy for the nonprofit Help a Willing Kid Foundation, which we will get into. Now, Ali, what you just said right there, when you talk about the popularity of boxing diminishing over the years, I mean, why, where did this idea of having all of these weight classes come from?
Well, I mean, originally, I think the concept behind it is good. You know, it allows for more people to be involved in the sport. It really, on an amateur level, it opens up the events to multiple kids. You know, whereas before you had maybe 10 kids in a weight class, and now you can have, you know, 5 kids in 6 different weight classes, and right. You add 5 kids. So it really, on the amateur level, expands it. I think where it gets some... And on the amateur level, it's still an extremely popular sport. On the professional level, some of that gets lost in translation where you have the different weight classes. So, you know, I'm not really sure how that translates from amateur to pro, but in the amateur side of it, it has really allowed for the sport to expand and become really popular with the kids in that sense.
Definitely. Now, when you talk about the kids, that's something I want to hit on right now. I mean, when you talk about the popularity of any sport, in order to grasp and really go – you know, take this thing to the moon. When you talk about the popularity of sports, you really have to grab the youth. And I believe there's a disconnect there today when it comes to boxing. You deal with the youth quite a lot through your foundation and what you do at Crown Boxing. Do you feel, though, can you echo those thoughts that really agree with me that there is a tremendous lack of interest when it comes to the youth? And if so, why?
Well, I'm not sure that there's such a disinterest in the sport of boxing. I mean, there's obviously a lot of the kids are going towards sports where they feel maybe they're financially more suited when they get to the 16 to 18. You know, that's been a hot topic is why there's been such a decline in the heavyweight competition over the years, because you may have a gifted gentleman that's, you know, an 18-year-old kid that's 260 pounds that, you know, can fight like crazy, but he knows that if he goes and plays offensive guard, you know, for Michigan State, maybe he's got an opportunity to a little better than if he tried to stay in boxing. So I think sometimes with the popularity of the kids, it's not necessarily that the sport isn't popular. I think sometimes the final result may sway some of the kids that are in that 16 to 18 year old. But as far as the young kids go, I mean, there's always the popularity of being involved in sports, and whether it's football, basketball, and boxing. You know, the one thing that maybe make it less popular is the fact that the resources aren't there. There's not a gym on every corner, whereas kids can play sports in all the high schools, and there's multiple facilities set up around the country in the city of Lansing that kids can gravitate to and be part of. Where in Lansing, you know, there's just, you know, a very small resource to look for boxing.
Do you see any of this changing in the future where, as you said, I mean, back in the day, you could just turn on ABC and watch a boxing match on a Saturday afternoon. Nowadays, you can't do that. Do you see any signs of this changing possibly in the future anytime soon?
Boy, it doesn't seem that way because the numbers on the pay-per-view don't lie. I mean, they're right. Pulling in millions and millions of dollars. So I think if the general public, you know, refused to tune in, then maybe they would look for another outsource.
We need a strike then. we're calling a strike on all Floyd Mayweather fights right now, all right? But no, all right, so moving on to Floyd, a guy like Floyd Mayweather, do you think he is good for the sport of boxing? I mean, I'm going to put this in this perspective. People love to tune in to watch Floyd Mayweather because his fights only happen once or twice a year. He's the most popular fighter in the game right now. But at the end of the day, we all know. I said this before he in his last fight when he fought Robert Guerrero. I mean, before I didn't bother to pay for the fight because I kind of knew what would happen. I would say every Floyd Mayweather fight goes 12 rounds. Mayweather plays great defense. He doesn't get hit. He's very accurate, a very good defensive fighter. Goes 12 rounds and he wins in a decision. Now for the eyes, that's not really appealing. He's not really an exciting fighter. But do you think he's good for the game in any way?
Well, he brings attention to the sport. I mean, that's positive. You know, he was very positive for the state of Michigan. Some people fail to realize, you know, as a young boy living in the Grand Rapids area, he competed, you know, not only against my facility, but other gyms across the state of Michigan, and then went on to represent the state of Michigan in the Olympics in 96 and won the bronze medal. And there was a lot of positives around him then. And, you know, when he went to the professional side of it, he's a very simple, prolific boxer. And his fights are going to be a little bit boring because maybe he doesn't take the chances some other fighters do, but it's not always a matter of taking chances and trying to knock people out on his point of view. But for the fans' perspective, I can see why people would consider it a boring fight.
Exactly, definitely. Well, all right, Ali, now let's go into your organization, the Hawk Foundation, the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. First off, I want to play a clip for you really quick.
Coach said, thank you for everything you've done. Now I would ask from the borrower to bring my family and whoever wants to box.
Again, that was a kid who takes part in Ali Easley. We're talking with Ali Easley today. He's the head of Crown Boxing Gym here in Lansing and also the head of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation, where he takes underprivileged youth who's really going through things off the streets and puts them in the boxing ring. That was a bite you heard from a kid who really, really appreciated what you did for them. When you hear stuff like that about your organization and hear kids say that, what goes through your head, Ali?
Oh, it just makes me feel wonderful. I mean, these kids come in and, you know, they just don't have the resources or the means to do things these days. And, you know, they're somewhat swept under the rug. And, you know, they come in to our facility and they get to learn a lot about themselves and get to create a friendship with other kids in the gym. And it's just wonderful to hear that they can have somewhere to go to release those frustrations and learn a little bit about life and hopefully leave a better person than when they came in.
So how did this organization start?
Well, we really started to look at some programs that we could use boxing and some other sports that we do, like swimming and track, for the kids. Something that wouldn't require us to have like a team per se, where we would have like a basketball team, where you may have an 8-year-old kid and a 16-year-old kid. It'd be really hard to form a team like that for any type of competition or practice or those sort of things. So with sports like running and swimming and boxing, the kids can come in and train as a team, do all the same thing, and, you know, look up to one another and kind of learn from each other. And then if they ever chose to compete, they would compete against kids their own age, you know, and height right. and weight. So those were that was how we kind of identified the sport. And then in looking at how to address the needs in society, what we took a look at real hard was the kids that are sort of swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
If you can kind of visualize a family, maybe a single parent raising two boys, kind of impoverished, don't have many resources.
Right.
And as a means of acting out, one of the kids, you know, maybe goes out and throws a brick through a window or, you know, goes steal something and gets in trouble, while the other kid continues to sort of become a loner and stay at home and sort of become, you know, really demoralized in his self-awareness.
Just kind of dealing with it in different ways then.
Right. Yeah. But the thing that we really identified is that the kid that chooses to go out and throw a rock through a window, he's offered immediate help. He's put in a mentor program. Mm-hmm. He's signed up for anger management classes. He's put in, you know, diversion programs. There's help there. There's people are tripping over themselves to help these kids.
Right.
And not that we don't want to help those kids, but we're really looking at the kids that are the ones that have become a recluse, that have just sort of become withdrawn and don't really know how to act out or deal with their situation. And that's kind of where the acronym of our name came from, is that we wanted to help a willing kid, a kid that was willing to sort of recognize maybe their situation and not act out in a violent way to receive help. And those are the majority of the kids that we deal with, and that's a niche that not a lot of groups address. So that's our main area that we address, those kids.
So how many kids like that do you have in your program right now?
Well, we go through about 350 kids a year come through the facility,
wow,
take advantage of our different programs, and then we have some of those 350, we have several that have kind of grown up into our system, and now they come back and give back to the program. I have people all the time ask, you know, how do you rate your success on boxing? And I say, well, you know, that's a tough ticket, you know, to say this kid won a national champion or he's a world contender. But I can sit down with you and play you clips like you just played and
right.
and list the name of kids that graduated from high school and never got anybody pregnant, never got in jail, and yeah. live a productive life.
Definitely.
And
definitely.
Those are success stories.
Without a doubt. That's very inspirational. Now, we also have another clip of a kid who just talks about what they do at Crown Boxing's gym with the Hawk Foundation.
From the beginning, you start off basically with no boxing skills. You go step by step into the process of boxing and the boxing knowledge before you can even step in the ring. You learn basic things such as your jab, your footwork, every punch you can imagine. And you go from there, you put combinations together, and then you eventually are able to step in the ring with coaches, and then it's up with another partner, whoever wants to spar.
So you start from scratch, Ali, and I see you laughing when you're smiling a little bit when you listen to that clip, man. I mean, you talk about what they go through. I mean, because some of these kids have, of course, they're coming in, they're kids. They don't know anything about boxing. Talk about that process of teaching them the game.
Well, it's tough. You know, one of the things we want to get across to them is learning the system. You know, and I know things have changed so much over the years. You know, now you get participation trophies and everybody gets a gold star for showing up. And,
right.
You know, that's tough in our world. You know, I mean, we don't really do that. So there's a lot of tough love and just a lot of learning the system, learning the verbiage, learning how to communicate with people, and just breaking it down and making sure everybody's doing the same thing. You know, there's certain things that all boxers will do, and then, of course, every athlete develops their own style. But for those remedial things that they all do, we just over and over and over again until the kids get it right, and it's a yes, sir, no, sir environment.
Right. Now for you, Ali, where did your passion for mentoring and bringing in these, just dealing with kids come from? I mean, just talk a little about that.
Well, after I got over my initial fears of climbing those steps at that gym in Pittsburgh, I really took to the place and, you know, just absolutely enveloped myself into the sport and just loved every aspect of it. But one of the biggest things that was probably, you know, I don't want to say life-changing, but a major issue in my life was that I was able to see these coaches who would come and yell at me and get in my face and grab me by the arm every day. Mm-hmm. But after practice, they put their arm around me and talked to me about school, and I was able to speak to them about things maybe that I couldn't necessarily talk to my parents about or other people in my life. It's just another outlet, and I know how much that meant to me, and I would see, you know, a lot of these kids coming through the gym from time to time that were in the same situation that seemed like they just needed somebody to talk to, needed something, and, you know, I thought about how much of an impact that had on my life. And I decided that I wanted to try and find the proper group of kids to identify to give back to.
Really inspirational stuff, Ali. Now, you also have a class at Michigan State University. Talk a little about that, because I wanted to take the class. I mean, I wanted to get in the ring when I heard about that MSU has a boxing class. I mean, I'm a huge boxing fan. My head went through the roof, man. But unfortunately, didn't get a chance to take the class. Got boggled down with other scheduling conflicts. But talk about that class, man.
We do. That class is interesting. it's definitely not for the weak of heart.
Right.
We try to lay it out as clearly as possible. We have a disclaimer on the scheduling books that says that it is an intense boxing training class. Mm-hmm. We meet on campus for the first day, and that's usually whenever I hand out a map and kind of let people know that it's held off campus at a real gym and it's going to be taught by a real coach.
Right.
It's not going to be a class you go to in the IM basement and, you know, goof around with a grad assistant. I mean,
right. It's intense.
This is a program, and the class was really designed as a way to help raise funds and awareness for the Help a Willing Kid Foundation, because all the proceeds that are generated from that class go directly to them. So it was a good marriage as far as finding a way to get the word out, getting the university involved, and giving the kids an opportunity to come in and see what the sport is like. But, you know, some kids come in and they have great success. They love it, and they continue to be involved in a program. They give back by mentoring, helping out with different food drives, clothing drives, just different things we do. And they get a real sense of what the sport is like, what the training is like. And they also learn a lot about themselves. You know, like I said before, a lot of these kids, they're coming in 18, 19 years old that have never played sports before or have only played the sports where they got a participation trophy. When they walk into that gym, it's that door shuts and gets locked and, you know.
You're stuck there.
It's different feeling, yeah.
Right, without a doubt. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Ali Easley, head of the Crown Boxing Gym here in Lansing, and also the head of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. Now, Ali, I still want to get in that gym with you, man, and let's get it on. Teach me some things. I definitely want to follow up on this. But when you look at all of this and looking at the Hawk Foundation specifically, where do you hope this foundation will go? What's the goal now for this foundation, now that you got it established?
Well, the foundation goals are to just really continue the work that we do, but being able to expand and incorporate the different businesses and schools in the Lansing area. We have several programs there. We do a lot of tutoring. We try to hold a policy for all of our kids to have a C or better grade point average in high school, which is tough. But our rationale behind that is we try to motivate them and inspire them by the different trips we take for boxing. And some of these trips are anywhere from 3 days to 9 days long, and it may require to miss a day of school. So I try to get into their heads and say, you know, if you have a C or better, I can justify letting you miss a day of school. But if you got a D and an F, why would I even think about taking you out?
Exactly.
So that's really helped us build a great mentoring program. We have volunteers that come down and cook every night. We try to prepare food for the kids. We know a lot of these kids come from homes where, you know, their meal may be something from a Speedway, where they're not really having like that home cook, sit down, kind of learn, you know, how dinner should be as a family.
Right.
And then we also do different things. We have laundry services. We know a lot of kids that we deal with are ones that get checks once a month. Or maybe the kids that go to the laundromat once a month with like 20 bags of laundry. And we know that sometimes they can, you know, be made fun of for maybe smelling or have dirty clothes. So, you know, we have so many programs like that in place that we just want to continue to try and build things up like that so these kids can really get some good self-esteem and self-awareness of themselves and, like I said, become ultimately positive contributors to society.
That's great, Ali. Now, I got to ask, now, have you ever had a kid come in that you've brought in and mentored, have any of these kids really taken a liking to boxing to the point where they've, you know, become successful at it professionally? Any success stories in that regard?
Oh, yes. We've had a number of success stories for boxing, from state championships to kids that have embarked on professional careers and have had opportunities to compete on, like, ESPN or HBO. I mean, we've achieved that level with several of our kids, and some really aspire to that now that we have in the gym, so only time will tell on them. But well, we've definitely had our share of state champions and national champions and kids that have had the opportunity to compete on a national level.
Gotcha. Ali Easley, head of the Crown Boxing Gym here in Lansing and of the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. Any final thoughts you want to share, Ali? How can people get in touch with you if they want to get involved with this whole Hawk Foundation and even just want to come down to the gym and work out with you, man?
Well, the gym's open, you know, for our summer hours. We're there from about 5 to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. We have an open-door policy. You know, people can walk in and see what we're all about, check things out. We also have some volunteers that maintain some web pages. We have a web page at www.helpawillingkid.org, and there's some resources on there you can find out about. And then we also have a volunteer that maintains a Facebook web page for the Crown Boxing. It has some of the information on the kids and some pictures and things like that. So we'd love for anybody to have contact through those avenues or to stop in any of those days.
Definitely, without a doubt. Well, there you have it. I definitely got to come through those doors, man, one of these days. All right. Coach Ali Easley, the head of Crown Boxing Gym in Lansing, where he runs the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. Ali, thanks for being on the show, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, man. All right. Well, when we return to current sports, we will dive into our current sports section of the show and remind you all that we'll be taking your calls at 140. Ali's going to stick around. If you got any questions for him, don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on any of today's topics. That's at 140, people. Stay tuned. More current sports is coming right up.
Want to snack on crunchy crickets? How about tasty mealworm orzo? I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at eating insects. A new UN report says they could be the food of the future. Plus blogger Andrew Revkin on his cerebral misadventure. All on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
7 days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
3-0 pitch. High ball, four. And the tying run will come down the line from third. Leonis Martin scores. The bases are still loaded. Adrian Beltre with his 26th RBI of the year.
Welcome back to Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Well, it's that time of the show where we run down our current sports of the day. As you just heard, the Tigers, a really tough outing for them last night. They fall to the Texas Rangers 10-4 last night in a pitching duel for the ages. Or at least we thought so. All right, Japanese pitching star Yu Darvish taking on Justin Verlander on the mound. Justin Verlander just really, really struggled on Thursday night. He allowed 7 runs in the third inning, the most he has given up in an inning in his entire career. Can you believe that? Justin Verlander, JV, that really surprised me watching that one. Now, each of the first two Texas runs in the third came on a bases loaded walk. Verlander has now issued 3 bases loaded walks in the past 2 starts. After giving up, get this, 2 his entire career. This is truly uncharacteristic of JV, and he recognizes it, folks. After that game last night, he felt as though his fastball was he felt comfortable with it, but his command was totally off, and he admitted that. And he says he's going to go to work. The final three came on a homer by Texas catcher Giovanni Soto. Who until that swing had no homers and 1 RBI this season in 47 at-bats. Now, Verlander is 4-for-4 with a 3.17 ERA. His next start is due Wednesday in Cleveland. So really uncharacteristic of JV. He usually does not do that, guys. Now, Darvish, he's now 7-1. He gave up 3 runs in the third. Don Kelly led off the inning with a homer, and Victor Martinez after fouling 6-2 strike pitches. So the Tigers, Detroit is now tied with Cleveland for that top spot in the AL Central. Cleveland didn't play last night, but they kick off their series against against Seattle tonight at 7. Tigers back in action against the Rangers tonight. Rick Porcello is on the mound against Nick Teppish. All right, let's move to some MSU baseball now. Michigan State baseball cruise to a 16-1 victory over Penn State. Whoa, that unbelievable 16-1. Come on, congrats to them, I guess. All right. The Spartans had 12 hits in the game, and 7 different Spartans, 7 folks, notched at least 1 RBI. Now, senior right-hander Andrew Wyzak earned his 6th win of the season and allowed 6 hits in 7 innings. Jimmy Pickens led MSU, went 2-for-4 with the home run. Really a great outing for the MSU baseball team. They actually took an 11-0 lead after scoring 3 runs in the 4th inning off 2 hits and 2 Penn State errors. So now this is the predicament the Michigan State Spartans are in right now, the baseball team. Now, in the Big Ten, the top 6 teams make it to postseason play. Michigan State is still fighting to get into that postseason talk. Right now, if you look, Illinois and Michigan are holding down the 5th and 6th spots. They're both 13-9, and they both Illinois and Michigan won last night. So we'll see what happens. There's still about 2 games left. The Spartans will be back in action tonight at 2:05 p.m. So as soon as we get off the air, actually, guys, at 2:05 p.m. They'll be going at it against Penn State again. That's a good sign. David Garner gets the start for MSU, and he will go against Greg Welsh of Penn State. Now, we'll see if they can get into to postseason talks anytime soon. Now, also yesterday, the Grand Ledge Comets, this really no surprise. They clinch the CAAC Blue title. They topped Holt, that's right, in both games of yesterday's doubleheader to clinch the CAAC Blue title. The Comets shut out Holt 6-0 in game 1. Now, the second game was pretty close, though. Actually tied up at 11 in the bottom of the 5th. But Corbin Klaus launched a solo home run to right center field to provide a go-ahead run. Grand Ledge, they would not relinquish the lead after that. They win 16-12 yesterday. So Grand Ledge clinches the CAAC Blue title. Now we look forward to the Diamond Classic. Grand Ledge and Lansing Catholic both have a bye. So you won't see them until, I believe, Wednesday. Monday, that's right, May 20th, the Diamond Classic kicks off. We'll be at every single game. I'm excited for it. Hope you are. Now, last night, the Boston Bruins in action against the New York Rangers, and we had a little Spartan love last night, y'all. Check out this.
Marchand brings it ahead. Matt Marchand trying to drop that back. Finds Hamilton. Dougie Hamilton walks it across. Krug in, shoots, scores! Torrey Krug! His first National Hockey League goal ties a playoff game in the third.
That's right, guys. Torrey Krug, he's a Spartan. He was on the, actually, this is a pretty creative, this is a pretty funny story, man. Torrey Krug on the bus headed to go play for a minor league hockey team when he got the call that the beaten up Bruins needed some help. Now, prior to this, he had played just 3 regular season games with the Bruins. No games in the playoffs. This is his first ever NHL playoff game. And he comes up, and that was really a huge goal. It actually came to a point early in the third period where the Bruins needed a score to tie the thing, and Torrey Krug comes up and delivers. Unbelievable. Now, the Boston Bruins would eventually go on to top the New York Rangers in overtime and take a 2-0 series lead. Torrey Krug, without that goal, I don't know if they win, guys, but unbelievable. Great to see the former Spartan doing his thing at the next level, on the bus headed to go play for a minor league hockey team. Unbelievable. All right, another action in the NHL playoffs. The Kings topped the Sharks 4-3 with back-to-back power play goals in the third to win. The Kings now take a 2-0 series lead. Now we move to the NBA playoffs. That's right, the New York Knicks fighting for their playoff lives. They beat the Indiana Pacers last night 85-75. To keep their season alive. The series is now 3-2 with the Pacers still leading. Now, it was interesting last night. If you watched that game, New York really played desperate. I mean, they were diving for loose balls, blocking shots left and right. Really a heroic effort from all of them, especially if you look at it, Carmelo Anthony, he really put the team on his back. He had 28 points. Reserve J.R. Smith and Chris Copeland, who's really come out of nowhere. They both had 13 points for the Knicks. And for the Pacers, something that really, really hindered them last night was George Hill. George Hill, he's been a great player throughout the entire series, but he was out due to a concussion. And the team had just found out 4 hours before tip-off that George Hill would not be able to play. So that really kind of messed with their psyche last night. Now, the Knicks will also, it's 3-2. They'll need a victory Saturday in Indiana to force a 7th game on Monday. Now, they are trying to become, always know how series go when it's 3-1. They're trying to become just the 9th team in NBA history to overcome a 3-1 deficit to win a series. We'll see how that turns out. And also last night, the San Antonio Spurs, they topped the Golden State Warriors last night to advance to the Western Conference Finals, which they will play the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, the Grizzlies, this is their first time ever being in the Western Conference Finals, so that'd be interesting to see how that plays out. Really, when you look at it, it was really youth against experience, and experience proved to be the deciding factor in this one. Specifically, if you look at Tony Parker and Steph Curry. Steph Curry really struggled down the stretch for Golden State. But if you look at things, Tony Parker had a terrible start to this game. Terrible start, guys. He only had 3 points entering the fourth quarter. But he scored 10 of his 13 points in the fourth quarter. And really a deciding factor in he had a big three to really stretch the lead out for the Spurs down the stretch. I mean, unbelievable performance by him. Tiago Splitter also had a career playoff high, 14 points for San Antonio. They actually had, but look at this, the Spurs blew a 13-point lead in the third, and it dissolved to 2 points in the final minutes. So Spurs move on. Tim Duncan also had 19 points. Kawhi Leonard had 16 points. So the Spurs will face the Memphis Grizzlies in the Western Conference Finals. Now, guys, I don't know if you heard about this, but Titus Young is in the news once again. I'm not joking. I wish I was joking. I'm not a comedian. I'm not joking, guys. According to Riverside County court documents, his His son's mother, hopefully I get this name right, Marjani Maldonado. Oh, I think I nailed that, guys. Marjani Maldonado, she filed for a permanent restraining order against Titus Young on Thursday, citing a threat of domestic violence. Maldonado first requested a restraining order on May 8th. That's 3 days after Young was arrested twice in one day, which you guys know about. We hit on that earlier in the week. Now, the order requires that Young stay at least 100 yards away at all times from his ex-girlfriend. I got an ex-girlfriend. I need to do that too, man. She's just, oh, man. Anyway, 100 yards away. Just stay 100 yards away from me at all times. That's what the restraining order says for Young. And now, she is the mother of Titus's 8-month-old son, Titus Jr. Now, a hearing is set for May 29th. Young currently remains in the Orange County Central Jail Complex on a $25,000 bail. Now, this is an interesting story aspect to this story that I didn't know about before I talked about this on the show. And so far, Young has been arrested. He has been accused of allegedly stealing a bottle of water. Like, who steals water, man? You just go to your faucet, man. Come on, man. You need to steal some water. A bottle of water? Come on, go steal some Jolly Ranchers or something. Oh, never mind. He actually, it says here that he was accused of stealing a bottle of water and some candy. So he might have been stealing some Jolly Ranchers. I don't know. And cigars from a Chevron station on May 4th. So Young was arrested for suspicion of driving under influence on May 5th, then arrested for trying to steal his own car from the tow yard, which we went over. He currently has 8 charges against him, 5 misdemeanors and 3 felonies, and faces up to 7.5 years in state prison. Now, we also reported that his father talked about him possibly having a mental disorder. If it is, Titus, I truly hope you get some help, man, because this is something serious. You can't. This is becoming a detriment to the people that are around you and the people living in normal society. So I really hope Titus Young gets some help. And so his girl files a restraining order. Let me write that down. Restraining order, because this girl is crazy, y'all. I'm telling you. All right. Bob Every sends the MSU club softball team to the World Series. Yes, this is a pretty cool story. Former Lancet Community College softball coach Bob Every leads the MSU club softball team to its first appearance in the National Club Softball Association World Series, which it will begin play in Columbus, Georgia. Really cool stuff, because I feel like a lot of club teams, just in general, don't get a lot of coverage, and these guys are going to the World Series. Really, really cool stuff. Congrats to Bob Every. And we also have Bob on the show next week, because a lot of people don't know. Bob, I mean, he has his hands on a lot of things. And one of those things is boxing. Bob is, he's been involved in refereeing boxing. I believe he's been judging boxing for quite a long time. So, like I said, in this whole boxing series, he will be a guest on the show to talk about the club softball team, but also dive into our topic of boxing and sports. And also, just one last story for you guys. Chad Johnson. The arrest warrant for Chad Johnson, he's been issued, a warrant has been issued for the arrest of the former NFL wide receiver Chad Johnson in South Florida. The state's attorney confirmed Thursday that a circuit judge issued a warrant May 7th against Johnson for failing to report to his probation officer. Now, if you know Johnson, he's a guy that, you know, has really been going through some things. And when, you know, he used to date reality star Evelyn Lozada. I believe they were engaged. And after that whole fiasco, he actually was accused of headbutting her. And, you know, he really, after that, it really was an eye-opener for him, saying he's really going to try to change his life around. He won another shot at the NFL.
Dear NFL teams, at any point, maybe not this year because it's kind of late and I'm still working on myself, but at any point next year, you are looking for my services. What am I bringing to the table? Humility. I'm quiet and I'm always open. That's simple. That's simple. What else do you want?
Well, Chad, man, you could have at least reported to your probation officer. Come on, man. Like I said, Johnson received a year of probation last September after pleading no contest to a domestic violence charge involving, oh, they were married, excuse me, his former wife, yes, reality TV star Evelyn Lozada. Evelyn is something else. I mean, if you've watched, I'm not saying I watch this show on a regular basis. My grandma may have it on. I may tune in. It's not, come on, men don't watch reality TV. We don't do that. But it just happened to be on. I saw Evelyn just going crazy. She's really something else, man. Anyway, the 6-time Pro Bowl player was arrested in August after Lozada said he headbutted her during an argument. She filed for divorce. It was finalized days before his conviction. They had only been married since July 4th. I mean, it was really a short time span. But anyway, Johnson was cut by the Miami Dolphins shortly afterwards, and he previously played for the Cincinnati Bengals and the New England Patriots. So we'll see what happens with Chad. Man, you got to get your stuff together. All you athletes out there, man, watch what you do. Watch how you do it. Be mindful. People are watching you, man. You're in the public eye. All right, ladies and gents. Well, we move on to our last segment of current sports, and today we have a special segment for you all. Of course, we're going to take your calls about any of the topics we discussed today. Ali Easley was on the show. Of course, he's the head coach over at Crown Boxing Gym and for the Hawk Foundation, the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. If you have any questions for him, he's still here, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Or hit me up on Facebook.com/currentsports. Or even tweet me a question at Al Martin WKR. But today is Reflection Fridays. My production assistants and intern will and I will wrap up this week's biggest stories and talk about what was the highlight of their week. Stick around. More Current Sports is next.
Bill Hader makes his final appearance as a cast member of Saturday Night Live this weekend. On the next Fresh Air, we feature our interview with Hader. One of his characters is Stefan, the New York City correspondent who gives inappropriate recommendations for family entertainment.
If you're looking to get festive with your family, I've got the perfect place for you. New York's hottest club is Hey!
Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
You count on All Things Considered for many reasons. The biggest stories of the day, from around the world to your own backyard. The thoughtful commentaries, the insightful features, or all of the above. All Things Considered has been your trusted source for news every afternoon. I'm Brad Walker, your host for All Things Considered, and glad to be a part of this show. I'll see you at 4 this afternoon.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, it's now that time of the show where we hear from you. That's right. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. And while we are doing that, I'm joined by my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke, along with my intern. Yes, my intern is here, folks, Mike Corey. Now, before we begin this, guys, I got to call out Matt because yesterday was Matt's birthday. You know, he didn't even tell me till after the show. Matt, what's up with that, Matt?
I was trying to keep it under wraps from everybody, but my cover was blown, apparently.
Totally blown, man. Yeah. Well, happy belated birthday now,
thank
man.
Thank you. I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you for being here, man. Oh, we're also having. Joined by Coach Ali Easley. As I said, this man is the head guy over at Crown Boxing in Lansing and also runs the Help a Willing Kid Foundation. Really an inspirational talk with him. Give us a call at 517-355-9527 if you got any questions for him or any of the things we talked about today. But also, we call this segment kind of Reflection Fridays, if you will, just to kind of wrap up this week and talk about our favorite moments of this week's premier week of Current Sports. Guys, I can't believe, I mean, 5 days went by like that. You know what I mean? Unbelievable. It really, I'm having a good time. Now, for you guys, we'll just kind of run down what we went through this week. This week was our television and sports segment where we brought in Jeff Gintner. He's the general manager over at Fox Sports South, vice president down there. Also, we talked to Steve Smith, who works for Turner Sports, former Spartan hoop great. Also, another former Spartan hoop great. Greg Kelser, also an announcer for the Detroit Pistons. He came in, well, he called in and talked to us about some things. We had Jennifer Swanchera, who's the PA announcer over at the Lansing Lugnut Stadium. And we also kicked off the show. How can we forget about this? The guy whose shoes I'm trying to fill, Earl Robinson, came on the show. It was truly a pleasure to talk about him. For you guys, all right, like I said, I got my production assistants, got my intern in here. What was the most memorable part of the week for you guys?
Well, I think it's the story that won't go away, and that's this Titus Young saga. I mean, we mentioned it today. I think we mentioned it maybe 4 out of 5 days. And I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon. And, you know, you alluded to it earlier with his father saying that he has, a mental condition that's coming on. And
right.
I think he might have mentioned that it stemmed from a concussion that he got in 2011.
Yeah.
And if that's the case and that's kind of what sent him off the deep end, so to speak, I think maybe that makes a wave in this whole, you know, former NFL players versus the NFL in this huge concussion issue, because, you know, we've seen guys like Junior Seau, once they've retired, start to see these symptoms crop up. But if it's taking away a guy's career at 23, and he's looking at probably the end of the road as far as the NFL is concerned, then it really might pick up some steam and you know, just fuel the fire of this debate that might, you know, jeopardize the future of the NFL.
Without a doubt, guys. This is Matt Ludke, one of our production assistants here. We also have my intern. He's making his radio debut here today. My intern, Mike Corey. How you doing, Mike? You all right, man?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the nice, warm welcome and letting everyone know that this is my first time.
Yes, it's the first time. Welcome, man. For you, Mike, you've been listening to the show throughout the week. What was your most memorable moment for the show, first off? Premier week, man.
For me, right from the first show, we were talking about Tiger Woods winning the Players' Championship this past weekend, his fourth tour win this season and everything. And just getting back to the game, the Tiger Woods I remember, you know, a couple years ago when he was just at the top, number one, he's back number one now. And he's just you can tell that he's, like, getting really confident. You know, Lindsey Vonn, probably, is my best guess as to why he's at the top of the game.
Yes, Lindsey Vonn. If you guys know Lindsey Vonn, I believe she's a professional snowboarder, and Tiger Woods, and that's his girlfriend now, man. So whatever, I don't knock anything the brother's doing. Whatever helps you on the course, Tiger, he's my favorite athlete. Back at number one in the world. Really good to see him. He just won a Players' Championship. Yo, that's definitely a memorable moment, and we talked about him. Definitely good. All right, now, Alex Shark, my other production assistant, what was your most memorable part of this week's show, man?
Well, back to the Lindsey Vonn comment.
Yeah.
Well, we have Justin Verlander, our buddy with Kate Upton, and look how poorly he performed.
Right.
Let's not hope that was because of Kate Upton, but back to the favorite moment of the week. It's hard because of the whole Titus saga. You know, that's a pretty big story. Then you have the dad bull Jay Harris story.
Oh, you
that
can't
was pretty big.
That.
But there's one little story that was often ignored, I thought, this week. It was actually reported on CNN International. It wasn't really highly looked upon by other news sources. But last Sunday's soccer match between AC Milan and Roma was suspended due to racist chants by supporters from – well, it's still – unclear whether the supporters were from Milan or Roma, but those attending the match were sending racist chants towards Mario Balotelli, you know, one of Milan's striker stars. And basically what happened was, as soon as the racist chants started to happen, instead of suspending the match, they halted the match. The referee made an announcement over the PA system, and a few minutes later, they started to resume it. Now, there's a little bit of debate because Milan coach Allegri was saying that there shouldn't have been a halting. It should have been a clear suspension, either a suspension or calling off the game totally, that there should be stronger action against racism at sporting events. And I'm just shocked that this is happening. This isn't in the South. This is in Europe, you know. Pretty shocking news to me, and I thought that was a pretty interesting story.
Without a doubt, man. How did that pass me? I don't know, man. You got to let me know stuff like that. We were definitely talking about that today.
Hey,
that's pretty cool.
That's what Reflection Fridays are for.
Hey, Reflection Fridays, baby. Again, we have Coach Ali Easley in here. Coach, are you a big sports guy other than boxing, man? What do you watch when you're at home, man, as far as sports go?
I watch the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, you're a big Pittsburgh Steelers guy. Gotcha. I feel you on that, man. Did you, as far as you know anything about Titus Young and the whole Jerry Harris situation, what was your biggest story of the week so far, if you followed anything?
Well, I don't know. I followed anything. I heard on the radio this morning that Dick Trickle passed away.
Yeah, we did hear that. Rest in peace to him, man. But, yeah. Well, again, we have Ali in here. If you got any questions for him, guys, as we move on. For me, personally, a great week. But the premier week of current sports, I'm still overwhelmed by that, man. For me, one of the big highlights for me was interviewing Greg Kelso. Like I said, I grew up a huge Piston fan, man, and I grew up listening to him off and on, and you know him and George Blaha, and to talk with him about how he got into the business and his time at MSU was really, really cool and inspirational for me. My dad called on our first day in the call-in segment. He's shocked. I'm going to see him this weekend, man. I definitely got to thank him for that. That was pretty cool. Jennifer last night, yesterday, talking about the lug nuts. And from a women's broadcasting perspective, that was really cool to listen to her. And, of course, Jay Harris. I think Jay Harris might have. Him and Titus Young were battling for the biggest story of the week. And if you didn't know, if you didn't hear about Jay Harris, listen a little bit of this. Phone Life. Yeah, that's Jay Harris, a.k.a. Jay Dat Bull. Now, Jay Harris was, for those of you who don't know, he was part of the 2013 recruiting class for the Michigan State football team. And Jay decided to not pursue his Michigan State football career and decided to pursue rapping. And Coach Mark D'Antonio got a hold of YouTube and heard this track and saw the video. And Harris was, you know, smoking marijuana and a lot of cussing. And Alex, you want to weigh in?
What I'm wondering is why they haven't changed his rival profile name to Dat Bull. It's still Jay Harris.
Yeah, you guys need to get on that, Rivals. What's up with that, man? He's now Jay Dat Bull. He's done with football now.
It's for life.
It's for life, you know? So to me, that was the funniest story of the week and the most. He's everywhere too. I'm looking online. I mean, BET was talking about it yesterday, and I'm like, wow, the whole story is really just broke. Unbelievable, man. So, so now before we leave, we want to dedicate the last 5 minutes to what's on TV this weekend. The weekend is coming up. We all hope you have a very blessed weekend, a great day and a great week in sports. So let's go off the cuff a little bit. Let's talk about some non-related sports shows that are airing this weekend. Game of Thrones. I've seen Game of Thrones a little bit. I haven't really gotten to it, but Matt, you can talk on this a little bit.
I love Game of Thrones. It's I will out myself as a TV nerd 100%. And Game of Thrones is right there. It's the Sunday staple, and it's the 7th episode out of 10, or 8th maybe, and we've been in a holding pattern for the last 2 weeks, so hopefully some serious stuff is going to go down this week.
Tune in, guys. I've seen it a few times. It seems like a pretty cool show, man. Airs on what, HBO?
HBO. That's the problem. But if you don't have HBO, find a friend, get his HBO Go password and watch it. Or alternately, find an enemy and steal his HBO Go password and watch it. Just either way, find a way to watch it because it's great.
I need to do that, man, because my college roommate, former college roommate, Johnny Lewis, if you're listening out there, man, I still have your HBO Go password, man. Yes, I do. I might have to check out Game of Thrones, man. Now, Mike Corey, now you talked about Saturday Night Live. Talk a little about that, man. It's Saturday night. I love Saturday Night Live. Go ahead.
They're finishing up their 38th season now. Ben Affleck's coming in as host. They got Kanye West as musical guest. And the big news is Bill Hader will be finishing up his like 7 or 8 year career at Saturday Night Live this weekend. So, and I'll also out myself. I am a huge TV nerd. I'm a comedy nerd. So this is I'll definitely be at the TV at 11:30 to watch a little bit of Saturday Night Live.
I will too, man. I'm a huge Saturday Night Live fan myself. You know, it's comedy just gets you away from life sometimes, man. It's a great down. Now, Alex, of course, he's just a sports junkie. He won't be watching any of that, but, you know, of course, he has a list of rundown of some sports that happened this weekend, man. Preakness and blah, blah. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny thing is my summer pad doesn't even have cable yet, so that's going to be a little hard for me. Man. I'm going to have to go to B-Dubs, you know, to check out some sporting events.
Yeah, definitely.
But let me tell you something. The X Games in Barcelona, I mean, you see the X Games here a lot. You know, they hype up with Pastrana. You know, the whole Tony Hawk saga that we talked about even before the show, we still have our Tony Hawk video game on N64
and play.
X Games in Barcelona. The sites are incredible. I think they have like 7 different locations in the city that they're doing the events at. You know, huge parks, huge ramps. It's going to be fun to watch. That's going on all weekend long. And then the NBA Combine, which I'm sure we'll comment on in a second here. You know, you're looking. They did the measurements yesterday. It was the first day. It goes Thursday to Sunday too. But the thing about the Combine is that Oladipo's wingspan is just huge.
It's unbelievable.
And the way that he's leaning right now, it doesn't look like the Pistons are going to be able to get him in a slide down like they have for Drummond and Knight.
I'm crossing my fingers, but I don't know. We'll see, guys. All right, other action. I know if you look at the rundown of shows, Undercover Boss, Scandal. You know, Scandal's a huge show nowadays, guys. I mean, last night I went on Twitter and everybody's talking about Kerry Washington and Scandal. Their season finale was last night. I got to check it out. I've seen season one. But when I was watching season one, season two was going on at the same time, so I couldn't just. I don't like going in the middle of a series and trying to watch a series. That's not kosher. It's not what you do. So anyway, guys. So a lot of stuff going on this weekend. I hope you all out there have a blessed, fruitful, and safe weekend. Thank you all for tuning in. Before we leave, I want to give a special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Alex Shark, Matt Lufke, our production assistant, my intern Mike Corey, along with my engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR, Crown Boxing trainer and coach, and also the head of a Help a Willing Kid Foundation, Ali Easley. Thanks for coming, man. Next week, we continue our boxing and sports series. Thanks for tuning in, folks, and have a fantastic weekend. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870, East Lansing.
This is Current Sports from AM 870 WKAR.